Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to Being Here.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Or evening, depending on where you are. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia. And today we're going to be talking about the art of relating.
It is an art, isn't it?
Really, it is.
You know, an art form is something that is done with finesse and class and creativity. It's not just to phone it in. You can't phone in relating. You have to actually be here, hence the name of our show, Being Here. So here we go. And it's always good right up front to let everybody know
that we finish each other's sentences.
It's our style.
In Germany, you know, when we lead workshops there, they translate. So it's a little difficult to finish each other's sentences.
Well, we often pause and let the translator finish it for us. So welcome to all those of you in Europe who are used to our style with translation. Today, you'll have to translate for yourself.
Right.
One of the things, you know, Sean and I were looking at the different aspects to relating, and we realized that there is one fundamental that if you don't have this one going as a skill set, your ability to relate is severely hampered.
Right. At least impaired. Actually, it's undermined severely.
It's kind of like being drunk trying to stand up in a hammock, okay?
Right. I've heard that somewhere before. Okay. So, and that is listening. That skill set is listening.
You mean if you listen, if you're not listening, it's as difficult to create a magical relationship or relate as if you're trying to stand up while drunk in a hammock.
Right.
Let's talk about listening.
Listening is it's not a passive act. It's an active act. It's the act of listening. You're actually intentionally listening to what somebody else is saying and creating their point of view in yourself. So you are intentionally recreating their point of view rather than seeing whether or not you agree with their point of view or disagree with their point of view or already know it. Because a lot of times we think we already know what our partner or boyfriend, girlfriend,
or another is saying.
Right.
So we're not actually there. We're having a whole commentary in our head or waiting till they get done so we can make our point.
Right.
Or we're doing our laundry list while pretending. So how was your day, dear? And then the person starts to tell you, and you're off talking to yourself about a totally unrelated subject in the privacy of your own thoughts, and you think your partner doesn't know.
Well, they may not know, but they know you're not with them. They know you're not there. You know, you can sense when a person is giving you their attention or merely shining you on.
Now, let's be truthful. Honestly, situations happen in our lives where we have a tendency to be either more distracted or more distractible. So if you want to be able to relate optimally, the first place to really start, aside from listening, is to take a look and see where you are right now, today, this moment. It starts with being honest with yourself about how you are, who you are, how you're being. Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Are you feeling engaged right now? Are you preoccupied? Are you here? Take a look and be honest with yourself about what you see. That shouldn't be painful, should it?
Only if you judge it. So that might take us into the three principles of instantaneous transformation.
How is that for a segue?
I think it's pretty good.
Well, what is the first principle, Shia?
Well, Ariel, the first principle of instantaneous transformation is that anything you resist, anything you resist, disagree with, don't like, judge, will persist, will grow stronger, and will dominate your life.
That's the first principle.
That's the first principle in instantaneous transformation.
Second principle is very simple. You can only be
exactly as you are in this moment of
now, and it includes being where you are, how you are, who you are, how you're feeling, and all the circumstances in your life. You can wish things would be different, but in this moment, you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment.
And if you're wishing things would be different, you are, in the first principle, resisting the way it really is. Because when you're with what is, there's nothing to resist.
Correctamundo. Third principle.
Except if it goes against your preferences. In which case, then, see, life is very strange. Life doesn't really care about our preferences. It shows up the way it does. And our preferences are how we would prefer it to show up. And given all things considered, life is going to continue to show up as it does. And you can only disagree with how it shows up if you are looking at life through your preferences.
You know, it's interesting. We had Dr. Larry on a couple of weeks ago on the Health and Well-Being Show. It was a great show. If you weren't there to catch it live, you should go back and listen to the archive. And one of the things he was talking about as the major stress producer, because we were talking about health and well-being, is the experience or the feeling of being out of control. And I was just looking out the window here. You know, if you were wishing that it were fall when it's spring or summer when it's winter, and that's your preference, then if you look out the window and it's not the season you would prefer, you are going to feel out of control. But if you can look out the window of your life and choose what is, you have ultimate control. And that's the second principle and the third principle. Anything you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself and ceases to dominate your life.
That was a little confusing to me because you ran them together. And so if I were new listening, I would be confused right now.
I will separate them.
That's right.
I'm looking out the window. I can only have the
exactly
the
what
season
is
that I have. So it is clearly not winter. If I'm a snow bunny and I like to ski and I'm looking out the window and everything is green out there, if that were not my preference, it could only be exactly as it is. So it includes that everything's green, it's not snowy, and it also includes that I have a preference, it's different.
Uh-huh. So you're saying you could have the preference that it be different, but that doesn't change anything out there.
It does not. And in fact, if I'm invested in that preference, I only create stress for myself.
Because you're in disagreement with the way your life is showing up. So that's the second principle.
Right. Now, third principle is if I allow myself to notice that I have that preference and I see that it can only be green out my window and not snowy, and I let it be exactly as it is, including my preference. I'm not trying to get rid of my preference now. It completes itself. And in fact, the preference itself ceases to dominate me. If I take it into, let me make it a little clearer. If I have a relationship, I'm hoping to, or if I don't have a relationship, I want to get one.
Okay.
And I have a preference to not be single.
Okay.
If I include that I have that preference and right now I don't have a date and I don't judge myself and I don't judge the situation and I let it be exactly as it is without resisting it.
Right.
It completes itself. It ceases to dominate my life.
I see. Otherwise, you're constantly complaining to yourself that you don't have a date.
Which makes me so attractive.
It makes you so desirable.
Ha ha. So irresistible.
Right. That every man would want you.
Oh, we're working our way, aren't we? Have we told you what our guest is today, everybody?
Who our guest is.
Not well, yes, that's true. Who our guest is. Our guest is the lovely, gorgeous, irresistible Marie Forleo, author
Hello.
Supreme. Hi.
Hi.
Make Every Man Want You, How to Be So Irresistible You'll Barely Keep From Dating Yourself. Hi, Marie.
Hi, guys. It's so great to be with both of you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here with us, really.
Well, what shall we talk about?
We're talking about the art of relating. You want to weigh in on the subject?
I love this topic, first of all, the art of relating, because I just feel like, you know, every aspect of my life is impacted by my ability to relate to it. So whether it is my work, my family, my friends, or my partner, my now fiancé, the lovely and talented Mr. Josh Price, you know, it permeates every aspect of our lives. So I just think this is quite the juiciest topic we could be talking about, and that's why I wrote, you know, the book about it. And you guys have had such an incredible impact on me, my life, and how I relate. So I just think this is going to be a really juicy ride.
All right. Well, we know that your book, Make Every Man Want You, came out in stores this past month. How's it doing out there?
It's doing great. We actually just launched the new website, which is makeeverymanwantyou.com, and we have an awesome irresistibility quiz. So if anyone wants to find out how irresistible they are and get some fun free tips and some ideas and strategies from the book, they can just go on to makeeverymanwantyou.com and find out. So we've got some good stuff going, and we're getting great feedback. And it's awesome. I have friends around the country who are writing me emails going, I saw the book in Borders, and, you know, it's cool. It's very, very cool.
By the way, if you want to see what Marie looks like, you can go up on her site, makeeverymanwantyou.com. And if you want to see what we look like, you can go up on transformationmadeeasy.com. Sean and I were looking at the basics of the art of relating. I know you were here listening to us talk about listening and the three principles.
Yeah.
But it occurred to us also that another in the top three, is actually being kind to yourself.
I love that one. You know, I can speak for myself that for most of my life, you know, I'm a driven woman, and I like to accomplish a lot. And before I met you guys, I was very hard on myself. And as a result of that, as a byproduct, I was very hard on the people that I was with, meaning people that I was dating, people that I worked with. You know, I held such a high standard for myself of how I thought I should be, you know, this idealized standard of Marie that was, you know, complete fiction and totally impossible for me to ever match that standard. And it wasn't until you guys really introduced me to the possibility that being kind to myself could actually not only produce better results, but I'd have better relationships. And it worked like magic. It wasn't easy at first, I'll admit. You know, I was very well trained in the idea that in order to get anywhere, you know, to accomplish a quote-unquote goal or to make anything happen, that I needed to be very tough on me and disciplined. And, you know, it was just, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all. And when you guys gave me the clue that, hey, you can have compassion for yourself and you can have compassion for others, it was like magic how quickly I was able to feel more connected to people.
Excellent. That is so excellent.
We're going into our first break now, Marie, so stay connected. And you all out there, stay connected.
And practice being kind to yourself. We'll come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the Seventh Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia. We're talking with our guest today, Marie Forleo, author of the book Make Every Man Want You. And what we were talking about before we went to the break was being kind to yourself. And if you look at your own life, see if you were raised in an environment where the people you grew up around, that includes your teachers, your clergy, were kind to themselves. See, I don't think, I'm making a bold statement here, but I don't think that, for the most part, the people we grew up around were kind to themselves, and so we learned the skill set of being hard on ourselves when we do things that don't live up to our standards. And most of us do things that don't live up to our standards, so we're really hard on ourselves, and if we're going to be hard on ourselves, we will be just as hard as on anybody who's in relationship with us. So that's where I bring it to. Marie?
I think that's absolutely, I mean, I've seen it evidenced in my life, and I've seen it when I'm working with clients. And, you know, you can also feel it, too. If you're around someone who's hard on themselves, you could see it in their face. You can see it in how they're being in every area of their life.
Is it attractive?
Not at all.
You know, I've got Marie's book in my hand here. And she lists a lot of what she calls unattractive habit number 7, unattractive habit this and that. And I have to tell you, an unattractive habit is definitely being hard on yourself. You know, it's really hard to have a sense of humor.
Or victimizing yourself with what happens in your life. You know, we've all learned how to relate from people who didn't take any course in relating. They were trying to survive as best they could, and their relationship skills may be flawed or faulty. And one of those things that people seem to do is find fault with their mate or relationship or the person they're dating, and then make themselves the victim of that person and pout. Now, that's not a very pleasant way to relate, and it's something that you have total control over, because it's you. And you, if you start to become aware that you yourself cause your own victimization, well, then you don't have to do it anymore. It's really neat. You know, awareness is the key in instantaneous transformation. And awareness is a non-judgmental seeing of how you're relating to anything in your life. So if you bring awareness to how it is that you interact with people and see and be kind to yourself and don't be hard on yourself for what you discover, then there's a really great possibility that you can flatten or dissolve patterns of behavior that have been running your life and your relationships forever.
I love that. You know, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, I have some girlfriends, and I was talking with them over the past week, and they were saying how, you know, they find themselves in such a good mood, but then they can go home to their husbands or their boyfriends, and if their husbands or their boyfriends are in a, you know, bit of a funk or not feeling so great, that they, you know, will blame their husbands or boyfriends for their then lack of well-being. You know, like,
you mean ruined my mood?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was talking about. They victimize themselves with the behavior of their partner rather than realize that by having a conversation about it, they basically create what they say they don't want.
Well, I see two things. I mean, in that, I love that you bring that up, Marie, because there's two things in that. One is, if you really want to be skillful at relating, the first is not to personalize anything. So if your boyfriend or husband or wife or girlfriend find themselves being contracted somehow, that you don't have to take it personally and blame it on yourself. So somehow by not taking it personally, it's easier not to victimize yourself with it. That being said, your partner, it never goes funky in a vacuum. You two are a set. So if your boyfriend or husband is in a mood, it's not independent of you, and it's not personal. I don't know how to say it better than that. But I find that if Shia were to be less than centered, or I was less than centered, it's so easy to point at one or the other and say, there's something wrong with you. But we have found throughout the years, whenever one of us gets off balance, it's a team sport relating. And so to point at one person as the bad guy or the bad gal never, ever returns us back to center.
I love that. I think that is so incredibly valuable, because I know, you know, at times, certainly my whole life, the model has been, oh, one person's the bad person, you know, and I need to go fix that person. And that has never, ever worked. And I loved what you just said about that, because I've seen it, you know, with Josh. If one of us is a little off, you know, if Josh is not feeling, you know, so great in himself for a moment or two, and he says something to me like, you know, hey, what's going on, or this is what's happening, if I just allow him to be as he is and really get interested to hear him, to hear what's happening from his point of view, then it's easy for me to actually see, oh, you know what? Maybe I haven't been paying that much attention to him. Or maybe there's something I'm doing that's pushing him in that direction. And it's
Marie,
so much. Yes?
When you just said, hear what he says from his point of view, do you notice that there's this temptation to want to change or fix what he's saying, change him, fix him, change his point of view, fix his point of view, not just hear it from his point of view?
Absolutely.
That's one of the more difficult things to learn in the art of relating or the art of listening, is to actually hear what another person's saying from their point of view, not to do something with it, but just to get their communication.
Yeah, it's like a muscle that you can build, just like going to the gym, you know, and strengthening your leg muscles by doing squats. It's like you can strengthen your ability to listen and relate by really paying attention to the voice in your head when it wants to, you know, jump out and say something that's not going to further the conversation, or it's not even really listening.
You know, I've known you. We've known you for a number of years. We knew you before you and Josh actually found each other. So we've seen your relationship bud and grow. And
you actually found each other in one of our workshops.
Yes.
Matchmakers, where Yenta is now.
And I do recall, you know, when you mention it about how it was for you back early on as you were learning this skill set, where if Josh would feel less secure or you would feel victimized, because that's like what you were describing of some of your girlfriends, that it was really challenging at that point in time to set down that you were right and they were unreasonable.
Oh, it was, you know, that was the hardest thing. It was like I was so married to my point of view, and that, you know, it's really funny, like, that I was the better one. Like, oh, I'm all centered. What's his problem?
Right. That's very good. You know, when you talk about your girlfriends, there's an agreement among the girls, just the same way there's an agreement amongst the boys as to what the boys think about the girls and the girls think about the boys. And that agreement, you can unwittingly be pulled into the current of the agreed upon men are wrong, or you can, especially these days for women, try to prove that you're not just equal, but better, smarter.
Yeah. Yes.
And every guy loves that. You know, I want every man to want you. They really want you when you make them feel stupid. Not.
You know, it's very, very interesting, you know, that we're talking about girlfriends and guy friends. Gossiping about your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend with your buddies or your girlfriends does not make for the best of relationship, because you are likely to go into agreement and reinforce something old that is part of the gender war rather than part of having harmonious relationships with everyone in your life.
You know, I think that's perfect. I completely had forgotten about that point, and I was just thinking of one of my friends who I'll definitely give a call to after this conversation to remind her to, because, you know, I gave her some great insight. And that's another good piece that she needs to hear, is to talk with him about this stuff.
Rather than her girlfriend.
Absolutely.
Because all that
right.
does is
right.
reinforce right. I'm right and he's the problem.
Right, and the girlfriends will always side with the girlfriends, that if there's a problem, it's got to be from her boyfriend. That's got to be the cause of it. Rather than what is she contributing and how is she, unbeknownst to herself, setting it up so that they are in disagreement.
When we were looking at relating, the thing that pulled us through, and Shai's pointing it to it here up on our little flip chart, is that relationship is not a 50-50 deal.
It is not a 50-50 deal.
It is 100% my responsibility.
And it's 100% my responsibility.
So you can't say, okay, you know, this is my responsibility. Now you take blame, too. It's not a 50-50 deal. If you want your relationships to be healthy, you need to look at you. Not at them. You. Uh-oh. You. 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 No!
And did we mention you? See, and if you look non-judgmentally and see how you set things up and are kind to yourself when you see it, then you won't have to do things like that anymore. You won't have to do those things that set your relationship on edge where it teeters over the cliff face, you know?
The cliff face of failure.
Yeah, and I want to say something. Do we have a minute before we go to a break?
Just a minute.
Exactly. No, less than a minute. So
I'll make it fast. You know, you guys have your workshop, and that's where Josh and I met. And you guys have an amazing workshop coming up in June, which I'm going to be at. And I want to just put it out there to invite anyone who's listening who wants to master the art of relating. The Canes are having the Art of Relating workshop on June 20th, 21st, and 22nd, right?
Right.
That's correct, in New York City.
And whoever's listening, just so you know, the best workshops for relating in the world. I can guarantee that. If you come and join us, you will learn how to dissolve all the things that get in the way between you and what you want in relating.
And your relationship will transform, because it's about transformational relating. The art of transformationally relating.
We should talk more about that after the break. So come on back, everyone.
And don't miss being here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We are speaking today with Marie Forleo, author of Make Every Man Want You. If you don't have a copy of this book yet, you should get one. And I have to tell you, we've been hearing from the guys who've been reading it. It's not just, although there were some fellows who were telling us how, the funny looks they were getting while they were reading it on the subway. So if you're brave, you can do that. But the truth is it has lots of tips about the art of relating in there. It's about how to make yourself irresistible, and it includes taking a look at the things that keep you from having what you want in your life. So whether you're a man or you're a woman, that relates to everybody. So you can run right into Borders or your local bookstore and get your copy. Hey, Marie, we found a copy and bought them all up at our local little bookstore because we were so excited to see them in there. So I'll have to get this copy I'm holding in my hand signed so that we can give it out to some friends of ours.
Cool.
So next time I see you, we'll be doing that. By the way, everybody, as Marie was talking about the art of relating, June 20th through 22nd is happening in New York City. We have people coming from all over the world. I actually believe we have a couple coming up from Costa Rica. We have people coming in, I believe, from Germany, California, all over. So please, please join us. In Texas, I think, Carla, you're coming up. We're looking forward to seeing you. So if you haven't jumped into the transformational pool yet, come on up and join us.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Not too cold.
Monday Night Alives, by the way, begin again June 9th because we do not have one on the 2nd. And the international conference calls for the EU Europeans, the next one's on June 17th. So just to tell you that, if you're going to be missing us in the meantime, you can go download some of our podcasts or you can go to the show archives for the show and click on your favorites. Okay, so we're talking about the art of relating.
And see, what gets in the way of relating is probably what we should talk about.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're not aware of something you're doing, it can have a tremendous effect on how your relationships flow or unfold or unravel, as the case may be. So, one of the things that Ariel and I have discovered after, you know, we've been together for 26 years.
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Man, it's gone fast. Life goes by fast when you're having fun.
It does.
Anyway, and in that time, we've discovered quite a few things, but one thing that really gets in the way of relating is something we call DTMWTD. That's what it says on the board here.
Can you guess it, Marie?
Yeah, the big old don't tell me what to do.
That's right. Don't tell me what to do. People don't like to be told what to do. Now, what's interesting about relationship is in a relationship, you're constantly managing each other. And if you don't want to be told what to do, then that gets in the way of really allowing another to contribute to you, or, well, the difference between surrendering to your life or succumbing to it. Our definition of, well, we'll start with succumbing. Succumbing is when somebody asks you to do something and you do it, but then you make them pay for it.
Or you hurt yourself in the process to punish them for
ever having asked you in the first place.
You know, I had that experience last night. Yesterday, I was feeling a little under the weather, and I slept a lot of the day, and Shia brought me lunch, and then he took it away again. And, of course, when I went into the kitchen, I mean, he didn't take away lunch, but he took away the dishes. When I went into the kitchen, it was all cleaned. It was like I had had nothing to do with the prep work, the heating of the food, the cleaning up the dishes. And then come evening, I felt pretty good because I'd slept most of the day and I had recovered myself. And Shai was feeling starting, I think he got whatever this bug was a little bit behind me, and he wasn't feeling so good. And once we had dinner, I walked into the kitchen, and there were all the dishes. And I had this choice to either surrender or succumb. So don't tell me what to do. Not only happens in relation to other people, it happens in relation to the circumstances in general. So don't tell me what to do whilst faced with the dishes. Is I could either surrender or I could succumb to having to do them.
So if she succumbs, she is the victim of having to do the dishes.
I'll tell you what succumb sounds like. You're banging pots and pans so the other person feels bad that you're in there doing them because they should be doing them with you. You break a dish. You cut yourself on a knife. You generally talk to yourself about, why am I abandoned alone in the kitchen?
And let's talk about surrender for a second.
Surrender is when you take a deep breath and you do them as if it's your idea and you can't think of anything better that you'd want to do right then.
And you agree to love the experience.
And you go about it with excellence and you get the little crumbs out of the corners.
And you're not complaining to yourself that you have to or they made you. It's about just living your life. Now, I tell you, if you just lived your life and brought that to a relationship, you'd be a joy to be around. But, you know, it's funny. We were with our grandsons recently, and they're 5 and 5 months. And the 5-year-old, he gets attention by feeling bad. So
most of us learned that at 5, but most of us never grew out of it.
That's the point. By 5 years old, most children know how to get attention by having negative things happen or feeling sorry for themselves, feeling bad, being the victim in their life so their parents will give them attention.
So I have a question for you, Marie. When you started your relationship, were you a consummate pouter?
Oh, I was so good at it.
Have you found more attractive ways of getting attention these days?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do to get attention is to take care of Josh. Is like, I actually take such pleasure these days in, you know, if he's sitting at his desk and he's doing work, it's like, you know, getting him a glass of water or making some tea or, you know, I'll go out and move the car or, you know, whatever the little daily tasks are that show up that need to be handled. I remember there was a time when...
You live in New York City, huh?
Yeah.
You have to move the car from one side of the street to the other, huh?
That's right. That is absolutely right. But, you know, I find myself feeling very irresistible and good in my own skin, taking care of him and taking care of other people, too.
Yeah, I found that last night. It was like I was not only doing the dishes, but I was rather doing them a little bit more quickly because I wanted, if he came into the kitchen, to have it be a visual treat. I wanted enough to be done or have it completely done so that he'd walk in and something in him would go, look, the dishes all magically disappeared.
Yeah, it gets to be fun, and I find, you know, I have so much more energy than to put into everything that I'm doing if I'm not falling into the don't tell me what to do.
Well, Marie,
pattern.
You're not fighting. See, yeah. A lot of people are fighting, and they don't even realize they're fighting. A lot of people are listening to an internal conversation with themselves about how their partner is doing it wrong.
Like they're saying, yeah, you don't know. I always have to do the dishes. He's never done it. What's so big about that?
Right.
Well, how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you're fighting with your partner, you're just playing fighting. You just happen to be playing it out with your partner. And then if your partner unwittingly does something that gets in your way, you can either punish them or you can keep bringing yourself forward.
Or you can just get over it and move on and get into the next moment of now. You can either say, oh, they did me wrong and have a big pout over it, or you can just move into the next moment.
You know, I love that. Today, Josh and I were in the grocery store. Like, I had my idea about how we should go to the grocery store. He looked at me. He gave me a look. He's like, really? Do you really want to start a little fight about this? And I started laughing so hard.
Very good. But you're lucky. Lucky that your boyfriend comes to the workshops that you come to.
Yes.
Because I tell you, most people don't even see the fight they get lost in.
Right.
And if you bring it up, they defend themselves like, don't tell me what to do.
Well, that was perfect, too, because he didn't take it personally.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that's been really cool, and I love what you guys just said, that there's the option to drop it immediately. Like, the moment you notice you're going down that road, you don't have to keep going. It can be over in an instant. And we were laughing and giggling after that. And I thought, like, wow, this is such a gift, because I can remember a time in my life where that would have been the launching point for, you know, a whole afternoon, evening, 2 days of misery.
Well, you learned that somewhere, my dear.
Oh, from you guys. Are you kidding?
No, I'm talking about
the misery part.
The misery part. Oh. I'm not talking about the other.
You know, I want to say one last thing before we go to break, and that is actually the very first statement of our book, How to Create a Magical Relationship. And it's this statement we make, and I know it is absolutely true. The statement is this: it only takes an instant to transform your ability to relate. We're going to leave you with that. We'll come on back in a few minutes. Come on back, and don't miss being here.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Marie. We are talking about the art of relating.
And being there for your relationship.
You know, it's really hard to be there for your relationship if you're incomplete with one or the other of your parents.
It's really hard to have a relationship if you're incomplete with one or the other of your parents.
Because, you know, whatever issues you have with your parents, whatever, however you find them annoying or whatever you've assigned to them, before you know it, whoever you're in relationship with is going to show up with those same attributes.
Attributes. Attributes are supposed to be good things.
You know, well...
Flaws.
Flaws? Okay, flaws. We'll call it flaws. Do you find out with your... clients, Marie, that you see a lot of people are really stuck in the basics with their relationship with their parents?
Yeah, and I find that it's really interesting how often they'll refer to their parents, you know, clients in their 50s, 60s, haven't had anyone in their 70s yet, but...
We've gone through the 80s. We've had 70s and 80s. You even know some of them.
It's
anyway.
Amazing. Yeah, how much, even in regular conversations, you know, I was on a plane yesterday coming back from, Las Vegas, and I was just overhearing conversations of adult women, they happen to be, referring to their mom, and, oh, my mom taught me that one, or, oh, my mom this, and I was like, whoa.
At some point, you have to take responsibility for yourself. You may have learned it somewhere.
You know, we were once doing a course in Hawaii. It was a sleep aboard course, you know, like big...
A residential course.
A residential course. And this is years and years ago. But we had a man in... and we had people sleeping in the same rooms, you know. They had roommates. And one of the people started complaining about his roommate would never make his bed. So we spoke to the roommate who didn't make his bed, and we said, you know...
What's the deal? You're living with somebody else at the moment, and they have to keep coming to your mess.
And so he said to us, well, my mother never taught me how to make a bed. And we said, how old are you? He said, I'm 34. And we said, well, it's time. He now knows how to make a bed. But the point is, you know... Our parents didn't know how to relate. They did the best they could, you know, and sometimes they failed miserably, but they were still doing the best they could. And then you got the principles of transformation. They could have only done it the way they did because they did. They couldn't have done it any differently because, see, you can't be different than you are in this moment of now. Too late, now and by. In the moment of now, you can only be the way you are. Therefore, you can only have always been the way you were. And even though you beat on yourself for things you should have done differently, you could have only done them the way you did it. Your parents could have only raised you the way they did. And now it's up to you. It's called being an adult. It's terrible.
The interesting thing is... None of us are broken. You are a perfect you. And from this moment, this instant, this is exactly where you need to be and how you need to be in order
to have your life transform.
Absolutely. And to have your relationships transform along with it.
That's right. But it starts with you. See, you can't fix that other person.
You can't even fix you.
That's right. So when you stop trying to fix them... And stop trying to fix you and allow yourself to be the way you are. There's a real possibility to have a great relationship show up. But it requires not working on yourself. Did we tell you the name of our first book?
Working on Yourself Doesn't Work. Right. In fact, that's how you found us, isn't it, Marie?
Oh, man, I found that book and it was like, I felt like the clouds parted. And God, even though I'm not very religious, I felt like it was like, oh, this is it. I just felt something when I read this book that there was such truth in there. And there was just such amazing insight and wisdom and simplicity like I'd never seen before in all the stacks of self-help books and all the other workshops I did and all the trainings. It was brilliant.
Hey, we got an email the other day from a woman we've never met named Lisa. And what she says in her email reminds me, Marie, a little bit
of how you found us.
I'm going to read it. It's very short. It says, "Dear Ariel and Shia, even though I, somewhat smugly, I confess, believe that my marriage of 21 years to a world-class guy is indeed magical, your happy faces gazing down from the cover of How to Create a Magical Relationship caught my eye while I was in the public library. A little voice inside my said, hey, maybe you'll pick up something new. So imagine my surprise when I discovered that your book is teaching me about myself and how I relate not only to my husband but to my family and friends too. Just wanted to say thanks. Your first book is definitely next on my list. Best wishes, Lisa."
Oh,
you know what I love about that? Because she didn't come from a place that she had a problem. You can absolutely look at the quality of your life without having to have the starting place that you're broken first.
Yeah, it only says good things about you, that you're willing to look to see what's going on, not as though you're flawed, because I do not believe any of us are flawed. I believe we're each unique human beings and each unique individuals, and if you discover your greatness without, you know, if you discover how to be aware of how you're being without working on yourself, but not without judging yourself, then the possibilities become endless for what's possible for you.
Yeah, I can't agree more, and I just want to, just one more encouragement for anyone who's listening, you know, to get your butts over here to New York and take The Art of Relating, because it absolutely will transform your life. I'm so excited for it. You know, I've been working with you guys now for years, and every time I'm doing a workshop, I get even more excited. And,
happens, Marie? You get back into the experience of being in your life rather than the concepts that we all live through. So you re-energize your experience of being transformed and being in the moment and being the powerful human being that you are, rather than the mind chatter that most of us listen to about our flaws and our faults.
Absolutely.
June 20th, 21st, 22nd, that's the weekend here, just in case you forgot today. You can go up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, get the further information. You can register right there. We'll be there, obviously. Marie's going to be there, and a whole host of incredible, incredible people. You know, before we end for today, Marie, both Shia and I really want to thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, definitely appreciate it very much.
Thank you. It's my honor and my pleasure to be here.
Okay, good. So I just wanted to make sure we slid that in. let's see. What didn't we touch on today in the Art of Relating? Do you think of anything that we want to make sure everybody catches?
I think one of the biggest things that impacts the Art of Relating is letting yourself have fun. A good time in your relationships is like novel for some.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what's it's like this. There's a story that we tell in one of our books. I guess it was the second book, the relationships book, about Jake and Becky and chicken soup. And every Friday night, Becky makes Jake chicken soup, and it's always great, but it's never as good as his mother's, and one day it gets burnt. She serves it anyway, and he says, "Becky, I don't know how you did it, but this is great. It's just like my mother's." Now, that's the way it is with love. If you grew up in a relationship where people fought and it was tumultuous, then that's what you look for, and that becomes your benchmark for love. Maybe it's time to reinvestigate what it is that really supports our well-being and go for that.
And that includes not making where you came from wrong or thinking that it's deficient. Regardless of what your background is, it's the perfect place for you to start having fun in relationship. And it's not sacrilegious. Fun is not a four-letter word. Just have to let you know. And so why don't we leave people with that as an idea between now and next week?
Have some fun.
See where it leads you. You never know. You may be kinder to yourself and to those around you. Thank you, everybody, for being here today.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you, everybody who is listening. And come back and join us next week for
Being Here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.